D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason and Adam Vingan here with you. The Chase and Big Joe Show will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circus Sportsbook Kentucky inside the Mint Gaming Hall this Monday prior to the Monday Night Football matchup between the Dolphins and the Steelers. But in the meantime, let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Chad Withrow from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow on Outkick. He is brought to you by A Moment's Peace Salon and Day Spa in Cool Springs. Hi, Chad. How are you?
Doing great, guys.
So, Chad, as one of our resident Vols fans, I need you to give me a pulse of the Volunteers fan base following the loss to Vanderbilt, the invitation to the Music City Bowl, the firing of Tim Banks, and the hiring of Jim Knowles as defensive coordinator.
Well, you know, in order, it's agony, lukewarm, joy, and then overwhelming joy with Jim Knowles. Right? Like rock bottom, you just get absolutely dominated in that second half against Vanderbilt. And then Music City Bowl, okay, that's fine. At least we can drive the game if you're a Mid-State Vols fan. And, you know, who really wants to go to Jacksonville at any time? And then, you know, Tim Banks fired, okay, good. Josh Heupel is seeing the error of his ways, and he's going in a different direction. And then, guys, I think Jim Knowles is a great hire. And really for this reason more than any other, it's Josh Heupel stepping out of his comfort zone, because the big question for Heupel was, is he always going to play show friends and not show business? Because he is almost loyal to a fault with his guys and his coaching staff. And Tim Banks had been with him for a long time. Tim Banks did a nice job in a few of those seasons. He was the reason they got to the playoff the year before. So it certainly wasn't all bad with Tim Banks, but it was so bad this season, and especially against Vanderbilt. If Diego Pavia doesn't throw those two interceptions, Vandy scores a touchdown on pretty much every drive. Tennessee was not stopping them, and they had no answers for Vandy out-scheming them and having a numbers advantage every time in the run game with the running quarterback. It was really incredible to watch. So I think that was the last straw for Tim Banks. They were helpless in that game defensively. But I think going out and getting to Jim Knowles, a guy with a great track record, that's an older coach that has no prior tie to Heupel, that can really just be the head coach of the defense, was a really good and smart move by Josh Heupel to show that he's willing to change whatever needs to be changed in order to get this team back to a playoff level.
Chad, Gentry Estes of the Tennessean is up in New York City for the Heisman Trophy presentation tomorrow night. Of course, Diego Pavia, a finalist for that award. And he tweeted a picture of something that I found incredibly interesting that must have been in the Heisman Trophy guide. The smallest margin of victory in the Heisman Trophy voting in its history was Mark Ingram in 2009 beating out Toby Gerhart by 28 points. Next closest was Bo Jackson in 1985 beating out Chuck Long by 45 points in the voting. How close do you think the voting is going to be tomorrow night, we assume, between Diego Pavia and Fernando Mendoza?
How was the Bo Jackson Heisman that close, too? That blows my mind that anyone was that close to him in that 1985 season. I think it's going to be close. I think, you know, I kind of study the betting markets and see what they're thinking. About midweek, it really went in favor of Fernando Mendoza, which I think now Diego Pavia is plus 1,000. And last I saw, I think Mendoza's minus 2,000 to win it. So, guys, I think this sort of, it almost gets into an electoral college when you look at the voting. Like, everyone in the South is going to vote for Diego Pavia because they watch the SEC and they watch them. They know how good he is. Everyone in the Midwest is going to vote for Fernando Mendoza. I have no clue what the West Coast is going to do. The Southwest will probably vote for Diego Pavia. And the Northeast will probably vote for Big Ten and Fernando Mendoza. It's hard for me to think of a scenario where the quarterback of undefeated, number one ranked Indiana, and what he's meant to that team, does not win the Heisman, especially considering he had the last crack at a Heisman moment. You know, he had the big passes to put the game away against Ohio State in a game that 19 million people watched last Saturday night while Diego Pavia was at home and not in the SEC championship game. So I think when you get the last showcase, you typically win. But it was an incredible final month and push for Diego Pavia. And I'm not saying that he's, you know, not going to win. I just feel like it's going to be Fernando Mendoza. But it's definitely those two guys. I mean, everything you look at, I don't think Julian Sayin or Jeremiah Love have a shot. I think it's going to be Mendoza or Pavia. I just feel like probably Fernando Mendoza's trophy tomorrow night.
At one point earlier this week, Chad, I looked up the odds for the Heisman Trophy. I think it was before the finalists were announced, or maybe right after. And Julian Sayin was plus 70,000. Plus 70,000. That's
I think he's
long.
Plus 50,000 now.
Okay.
Even after the four finalists. I mean, I think that it is very clear that he's going to be dead last of the four. I want to say he's like plus 50,000, plus 25,000 for Jeremiah Love. I'd have to go and look. And then I know that Pavi is plus 1,000 and Mendoza's minus 2,000. And they put those up. I mean, I just feel like they kind of know at this point with all the votes being cast already. So, and it's hard in some books to even bet on it for that fact that somebody out there knows and you can't bet too much money on it at this point. It just feels like Mendoza. I mean, what a story. And not that Vanderbilt's not an amazing story also, but you got to hats off to Indiana and what they did in beating the perennial powerhouse in Ohio State in that Big Ten championship.
Yeah, Chad, I think it's going to come down more now to last moments than actual numbers. Because if you look at the numbers combined, Pavia has the better claim to the Heisman Trophy. But I think
– And D-Mace, you're right, because all the rushing stats, it's not even close.
Exactly.
He rushed for almost 200 against Tennessee in the final game of the year. But it's really incredible. We looked at this today on our show. When you go back through the years and look at – this is a weak stat year for quarterbacks, period, for the Heisman. Cam Ward a year ago threw for almost 4,400 yards. And I think that Mendoza's at like 3,600. And I want to say Pavia is maybe at 37 or 3,800. But there are guys that have lost the Heisman. The year Caleb Williams won, he threw for almost 5,000 yards and 47 touchdowns. So the numbers are actually down with those quarterbacks. But you're right. I mean, if you combine the rushing and the passing, no one comes close to the percentage of carrying an offense the way Diego Pavia did.
Now, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Hutt when we had him on the other day. Where is this Vol program? Because going into last season, I think before the whole Nico stuff happened, I thought they were in a good place and they were trending up. And then obviously the whole Nico fiasco and everything was unsure going into the season. But then they got off pretty good, so I think there was a lot of optimism. They didn't finish like they wanted to, but it just seems like they're in this space right now. And it may change after the bowl game. There may be a lot of optimism going into the offseason, but it just seems as if the Vols are sort of in this standstill place while Vandy is sort of still moving in a sense. Not to say that they pass UT, but Vandy's moving. It seems like UT is just stalled for a second.
Yeah, I think, you know, Tennessee is in a place now, and it's not a bad spot to be in. They're in this yo-yo of 10-2 to 8-4 to 10-2 to 8-4, right? So every year right now in Tennessee, I think the expectation is, with the money being spent in NIL and where Heupel is as a coach and all that, that, hey, if you don't get to the playoff, your fans are disappointed, right? Now, are they firing the coach? No, if you have a decent season. But if you don't go to the playoff, that's the goal every year for Tennessee. And if you don't accomplish that, then it's a disappointment. So this year's a disappointment at 8-4. You know, 2 years ago at 8-4 in that Joe Milton year, a disappointment. A year ago, 10-2, you're happy because you got to the playoff with a good defense. The year before that, you're thrilled because that 22 season kind of came out of nowhere, similar to sort of Andy really this year, even after the 6-6 year last year, to kind of come out of nowhere and have that great year. I think when you look at both programs, you know, Tennessee did just have their best ever recruiting class, finishing top 10 for the first time under Heupel. He's been between 11 and 15 nationally in every year, and he just finished seventh. They got the number one receiver in the country. They got one of the top quarterbacks in the country they had committed for a long time who never wavered. I think what you're talking about, D-Mace, that momentum, it's real for Vandy because of the Jared Curtis thing, right? Like, not only did they beat Tennessee, but then a few days later, the top quarterback in the country was happens to be right here in Nashville, and I call this state championship game, and the kid is incredibly talented. But he decommits from Georgia. He decommits from Georgia, and he is going to Vandy. So I think that Vandy has the momentum now. I do need to see them next year because there's a lot of skeptics, and I think that this is understandable. You look at that roster. They had 35 seniors. They got a lot of 24- and 25-year-old guys on both lines. They're losing a lot, and not just Diego Pavia. on that team. So they're going to have to see if they can reload. They're going to hit the portal, mm-hmm. and they're going to get some veteran guys in the portal also that's going to help them immediately. But I do want to see what they look like, because I think Jared Curtis is going to be the starter. I think he's been told he's going to be the starter from day one. And I just don't think that goes great for any true freshman in college football right now, because the sport has gotten so much older and so much more experience on guys. I don't think any 18-year-old, I don't care how good you are, Bryce Underwood was a transformational prospect at Michigan. He wasn't that good this year in year one as a true freshman starter. So I think Vandy's going to take a step back. But I'll say this right now. If they go 8-4 next year, give Clark Lea a lifetime contract. And make sure you lock him up forever, because that will be quite the accomplishment.
So if I walked into your office and I have some, and you got to take off your orange glasses. If I walked into your office and said, hey, listen, I got this UT stock. It's been good, but it seems to be kind of stalled a little bit. It's not doing bad, but it's okay. But I got this Vandy stock over here that seems to be itching up. Should I take some of this UT stock and transfer it over to the Vandy, or should I double down on UT?
I mean, honestly, I think as an investor, I wouldn't buy either stock because I think Tennessee's stock price is stagnant, mm-hmm. right? Like, I think that they're, like I said, they're like 8-4 or 10-2. Mm-hmm. You know, every year you can expect that. And then if they're 10-2, everybody's happy. If they're 8-4, it's fire everybody, and it's disaster for a lot of fans. I just think Vandy just saw the best season in their program's history, mm-hmm. and it's not going to happen again next year. So how do they come back from that? Now, what Jared Curtis proved, this is why I would, if gun to head, I had to pick one, I'm buying stock in Vandy, because I still believe that they're proving sustainability for two reasons. They didn't let Clark Lea get away when he actually went to Florida and interviewed, by the way, and that was a power move to get Vandy to give him what he wanted, but he did interview for Florida. He got what he wanted from Vandy. He wanted to stay, and he is locked up long term. And getting Jared Curtis shows that you can be a player with national high school recruits. Mm. We know that they can do a good job in the portal, but I think landing that five-star quarterback of that position,
it's like
from
validation.
Your city, exactly. Mm. That was them. That's the blessing coming from the high school ranks, saying, okay, Vandy seems cool. I can go to the NFL here. And not only that, it's not just some cute story. I can go win games. And I can go compete for big bowl games or the college football playoff or anything else. I will say it is incredibly, and I'm not, this is no slight at Vandy, because they couldn't help this the way it broke out this year. It's incredibly disappointing. And I'm saying this, Vandy should be in the playoffs at 10-2, right? In the SEC. In most every year. It just wasn't the case this year. I mean, you look at the other resumes, and I get why they were left out, because their two biggest games and chances of huge wins, they didn't win. But I think any other year, everyone else is crossing themselves out, and they're going to get in at 10-2. That's the disappointing part to me. Vandy's going to go win 11 games. They're going to go smack Iowa, because this team likes to play together, and they're not going to have opt-outs. They're going to go destroy Iowa and win 11 games. It's already the best season in program history. It's only going to get better. I just want to see if they come, again, 8-4 or better next year. Clark Lea is the three-time SEC Coach of the Year, and if you're Vanderbilt, I mean, name a building after him. Whatever you have to do to keep him, do it.
Quickly, Chad, your thoughts on Shedeur Sanders, at least statistically, outplaying Cam Ward last week. How should Titans fans feel about that?
Terrible. They should feel miserable about that. Shedeur Sanders looks like the better quarterback. That was his third start. That was Cam Ward's 13th. That's not a good look for the Titans or Cam Ward. I understand why Cam Ward is a bit disgusted after that game. And I know people are talking about, oh, he can get over it, it's a win. That win did nothing but weaken their draft position. I don't think it helps anyone's morale that much. I just think it hurts their draft position. And, again, they're not drafting quarterback next year, but if you get that number one pick, it gives you the ability to trade back with a team that desperately wants to trade up and get that quarterback. And what the Titans need right now is volume. They need quality volume. They need more picks. They need more players. They need better depth. They need a couple stars that they just don't have enough of right now. And I would be very concerned if I'm a Titans fan that Shedeur Sanders is outplaying Cam Ward to that level. Shedeur Sanders, fifth-round pick. Cam Ward, number one overall pick in start number 13 versus third start for Shedeur Sanders. It's not good. I know Shedeur Sanders threw a lot more passes and all of that, but, I mean, Cam Ward was 50% passing, and guys, it's not a good sign. I just have not seen enough from Cam Ward to feel that good about anything right now.
Chad Withrow has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. He joins us every Friday on the program. Chad, great stuff as always. We'll catch up next week.
And D-Mace, if we're buying stock, the stock could never be lower right now in the Titans. So now's when you buy.
Exactly.
So even if it's bad right now, like, it can only get better.
Penny stock.
So you buy at rock bottom prices right now. We're buying that stock.
Thank you, Chad.
All right. See you guys. Have a good weekend.
Chad, as always, brought to you by A Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa in Cool Springs. 615-737-1025. We are going to continue the Cam Ward conversation coming up next because there is an aspect of his game that a lot of his naysayers have pinpointed. And we are going to discuss whether it is something that can be fixed. 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.